out one more time. It ain't over. Woo! You can be seated. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. It ain't over. Woo, I feel that, man. You know, I am so glad I go to a church where I feel it. I feel something. You know, I've been to some church where I'm like, the only thing I feel is my buns getting tired. You know, there's an exciting thing in the kingdom of God today, and that's called the church. It's a people that God is raising up in this last hour. They're getting stronger, not weaker, more powerful. And they're moving forward in a great advance in the things of God. You know, I want to just commend the Roman Catholic Church. You know why? Their influence about abortion literally changed legislation on this health care bill. And you know what? I am thankful that they take a stand for that. And we ought to join them. But there's another move right now. I've just been told, you can look it up yourself, but it's called the Defamation of Religious Act proposed by the United Nations. You can check it out on aclj.org, aclj.org. And we need all Christians to rally together, because to preach like I'm about to preach, if this thing is passed, would subjugate me to potential arrest and limitation on freedom of speech. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. ACLUJ.org. Check it out for yourself. Hey, let's get to the Word of God this morning. Amen? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Praise God. Genesis 3, verse 1. And maybe you could kick these off because they're humming. And that'll help me. The monitors, just turn them off. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. I'm reading it in the Message Bible. Here's what it says. The serpent was clever. Or the King James says, subtle. Everybody say, subtle. Ah, yeah, clever, more subtle than any animal that God had made. He spoke to the woman. He said, do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? Do I understand that correctly? And he'll always present a truth to you and me, and he'll try to kind of put a little twist in there subtly to get us to kind of veer off the truth. And he's very subtle that way. And I think what we've got to do today more than ever is to stay the course. That little phrase has been made popular by a couple of presidents, George Bush one and Ronald Reagan another. And it was politicized and it was humorized by all kinds of different people. But the facts are, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I need to stay the course. And it's used in the context of war or conflict. And it means this: pursue a goal regardless of any obstacle or criticism. And you and I have got to be so steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil in the Lord is not in vain now more than ever before. We need to stay the course, because there's going to be criticism and there are going to be obstacles that are going to come into our path. But how many know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? You see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we found in Genesis 3 and 1 the word subtle or clever. And now we find Ephesians 6 and 11, wiles. Both of these words in the Greek means this: tricks or devices. Tricks or devices. Did you know the devil is a trickster? He's a deceiver. As a matter of fact, he will convince even Christians, he will convince even believers that there is no devil and you're okay and I'm okay and there's no need to press into the presence of God in this hour. You see, we can live a cooled off life and get away with it. He's a deceiver because he knows that if he can get you to move to the fringe of the kingdom, you are susceptible more so to his attacks. So today we need to take a look at some of his tactics. See, you and I will never hear the footsteps of a serpent. He is so good, in fact, in his subtleties and his deception. The Bible says in Matthew 24, listen to this, verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Do you understand that, church? Jesus is telling us that in these last days, deception will grow to the point that even God's elect will be deceived, thinking that we're okay, thinking that there's nothing at stake, that it's all right. Jesus said there's going to be a sweeping revival at the same time. What a dichotomy of those that are in and those that are on their way out. You see, the answer for deception is only one, and it comes from heaven. The Bible says, in all thy getting, Proverbs 4 and verse 7, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. See, we need the wisdom of God on how to raise our children. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need the wisdom of God on how to conduct business and how to go about in relationships. And there's only one place where wisdom dwells, and that's God. So we need to go to Him. James, the apostle, writes this: if any of you lack wisdom, James chapter 1 and verse 5, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and doesn't hold back at all, and it will be given to him. So you see, God has all the wisdom, and all we need to do is ask Him for it. And when we ask Him, He'll impart it to us. So really, we're without excuse, aren't we? Because we can operate in the wisdom of God in our marriage, in our money, in our material wealth, whatever it is, because God wants us to manage as good stewards. You see, I believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, that after all, Paul wrote, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief, the Message Bible says. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. I want to introduce you to two sly ways from a slick devil this morning. Can I do that? These are his two means of deception, his trickery, his subtlety, his cleverness that he uses against God's people. You see, I believe many people are naturally smart, but spiritually ignorant. Many people are naturally intelligent. They have learning in the natural, but spiritually, they are ignorant. And we can't be ignorant because the devil fights spiritually. The Bible tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are spiritual, pulling down strongholds. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a battle. We're in a conflict. And so I want to admonish all of us today, stay the course. We will win in the end, regardless of the obstacles or the criticism you might be receiving. If you and I stay the course, not veer to the right or the left, we're going to see great victory and great results in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you about the tools of deception, two of them that the devil uses. First of all, he magnifies any and every situation that he possibly can. Because I believe the tools of his deception are this: an indirect and usually cunning means of gaining an end. That's what he does. He uses an indirect means of gaining an end. He'll grab your attention over here so he can slip in over there. As soon as your head is turned this way, he comes in that way. And that's why the allurement of the world is so powerful. That's why today, like never before, unprecedented, people are turning to drugs and alcohol. Even God's people, come on now, are turning to these vices because the enemy is handing them out before us so that we'll take a look at them. Because he knows that when your attention is this way, you can't watch that way. That's his subtlety. But the first one he uses, he magnifies every situation. He makes it bigger than what it really is. The devil likes to enlarge problems. He wants you and I to think as though that our problem is bigger than the God we serve. But let me tell you this morning, no problem that you'll face is ever bigger than the God you serve. Can I get an amen right there? Come on, say that with me. The problem that I face will never be bigger than the God I serve. Say it with me again. The problem I'm facing will never be bigger than the God I'm serving. Say it with me one more time. The problem I'm facing will never be bigger than the God that I'm serving. Now come on, let's thank Him and clap our hands and say hallelujah, because He's a big God. Amen. He's a big God. And so you and I have to begin to declare that and stay the course. No matter how big the devil tries to magnify things. See, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, how to handle big things. How to handle big problems. You know how it is? You got to talk to them. You and I need to speak to them. This is what he said. Verily I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You see, we've got to stop allowing our problem to talk to us. And you and I have got to start talking to our problem. We need to let them know that my God that I serve is much bigger than you, debt. My God that I serve is much bigger than you, cancer. My God that I serve is much bigger than you, marital strife. So I'm going to put you under my feet where you belong. Why? Because the Bible says, whatsoever you say, you've got to speak to that mountain. Because what he wants to do is magnify the cancer bigger than your life. Magnify the money problem bigger than God is able to supply your need. Magnify all the marital strife bigger than God can ever reconcile. But you and I are not going to allow him to magnify it. We're going to magnify the Lord. That's the admonition that the Bible says. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. And that's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we read our Bible. Because we want God to be bigger in our life. You know, I've not yet seen one news broadcast that magnifies the Lord. They're always magnifying the problem. They're always making bigger the situation. They're always intimidating by circumstance and obstacle, by hardship. But you see, I'm going to stay my course. In the midst of all the trouble that might be around me, I'm going to keep talking to my problem. Call me crazy if you want to. It's all right. I won't be mad at you. Call me delirious if you'd like, a simpleton perhaps, but I've recognized something about the magnification of a problem versus the magnification of the God that I serve. Say with me now, say with me one more time, there will never be a problem that will be bigger than the God I serve. See, you and I have got to get that down in our spirit. So I think we ought to just really shout it this morning. And maybe you're not used to shouting in church, but it's all right. Say, the problem I'm facing will never be bigger than the God that I'm serving. Now look over at somebody and give them a high five. Tell them, I believe it. Now, why did I ask you to get somebody to give you a high five? Because that's saying, I believe it with you. I agree with you. I'm in there with you. Yeah, that was cool, man. That's what you're saying. You know how they body bump each other now? You know, somebody does a nice play on the court, basketball, and LeBron comes running back, and the guy jumps off the bench. He wasn't even in the game. And he acts like he was in the game. He jumps up and... Dude, I'm the one that put the ball in the hole. You were sitting on the bench. But they understand a principle. They understand a principle that says, I am celebrating the God that I serve, which is much bigger than the problem that I face. I don't care what kind of defensive scheme you put on me. I've got talent. I've got ability. I've got something inside of me. When it comes down to it and there's only 1:08 left, give me the ball. That's the kind of attitude that you and I have to get. We have to attain this kind of confidence that says, no matter what problem I'm facing, I'm serving a God that is bigger. Amen. That's why the psalmist said this in Psalm chapter 30, or the 34th Psalm actually, verse 3, there's no chapters. It says this, I want you to read it with me. Are you ready? Come on, read it out loud like you're really into it. Get ready, let's go, read. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You see, you need somebody to help you make God bigger than the way you see him. That's why we need to give somebody a high five. That's why we need to get up and bump somebody in the body. That's why I need to call you on the phone. I don't need you to tell me about your problem. I need to tell you about my God being bigger than the problem I'm facing. You and I need to get some encouragement going in the body of Christ. We've got too many woe me meetings. We've got too many people that are down in the dumps and feel like they're defeated. You've got to get some new friends. You've got to find somebody. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. So if I go down the church directory and I go through all the A's and can't find nobody, I'm going to have to go over to the B's. And if I go through the B's and can't find nobody, I'm going to go over to the C's. Because the Bible said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Pardon me for getting excited. I like winning. I like overcoming. I just happen to believe our God is bigger than any problem that we're ever going to face. Oh, I like that too. Who said that? Yes, He is. Oh, come on. That's good. Turn to somebody and say, yes, He is. Some of you aren't used to that either, but that's all right. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And so I've got to find someone to help me make God bigger. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Isn't that interesting? She didn't say, my spirit doth magnify the Lord. She said, my body doth magnify the Lord. No. She said, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions doth magnify the Lord. Now, what's the word magnify? In the Greek and in the Hebrew, the word magnify means this. This is powerful. It means to expand and lengthen. My soul doth expand and lengthen the Lord. Your soul will either shrink your God or make Him bigger. Now notice she said, my soul. In other words, she said this, I possess the ability to do this. Because devil, my soul is my soul. The devil wants to use your soul to make God smaller. And God said it's yours to possess and make me bigger. You'll never make God bigger in your spirit. You'll never make God bigger in your body. But you can make Him bigger in your soul. How many serve a big God this morning? Well, I think it's a good opportunity to make Him just a little bigger if we'll magnify the Lord together. If I could just find somebody to lengthen and expand the Lord with me, I think God can be so big He can heal every disease, save every sinner, deliver every bound, set free every captive, open up every blind eye, and cause a revival to hit Lorain County. Woo! Come on, look at somebody and say, I believe it. Say with me now, the problem that I'm facing will never be bigger than the God I'm serving. Never. Never be bigger. So I cannot succumb because it's my soul. In the Hebrew, it means this, to increase and nourish. That's the word magnify in the Hebrew. I like this. My soul doth increase and nourish the Lord. I didn't know God needed to be nourished. Increased. God is all and all. But when I magnify Him, when I increase and nourish Him, my soul, I increase and nourish God when I say He's bigger than every problem I'll face. Don't let the devil lie to you that there's no way out. Don't let the devil tell you you're going to die and not live. Don't let the devil tell you there's no hope of restoration and your family will never come back to God. Don't let him tell you that. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Don't you let him tell you that you're going to die prematurely. No. That's a lie from hell. Magnify the Lord with me. Come on, somebody. You and I need to magnify the Lord. And when we make Him bigger, when we increase Him, when we expand Him, when we nourish Him, when we cause Him to be bigger than our problem, then he has to flee. Anything that magnifies the obstacles or criticism in your life has its source in the devil. Now, you may have not identified some of the news that you watch as being from the devil. And I'm not saying CNBC, CNN, Fox News, whatever, are the devil. But I am saying this, anybody or anything that magnifies criticism of the obstacles in my life has its source in evil. And you and I need to recognize it, because you have people that will do that. It's hard to find somebody to encourage you. You can find a dozen to discourage you and maybe one to encourage you. How many know what I'm talking about? Somebody just says, you can't, it's not going to happen. Be realistic, no way, come on. You see, that's why I've got to find somebody to lengthen and strengthen and increase and nourish the Lord in my life. I've got to get somebody in agreement with me that we're going over, we're going through. We're not going under. God's given us to be the head and not the tail. He has given us the victory. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I've got to believe that. And so when I begin to get this negativity all around me, it has its source in the pit of hell. I was just talking about that with my wife this morning. You know, we were talking about longevity of life. Tina was telling me of her brother's wife's mother, who I remember when we first got married, she was old. She was an old woman. I ain't seen nothing yet, man. That woman's really old now. She said, did you know that she's still living? I said, really? How old is she? 97. I said, 97? Good God Almighty. She has the right mind. She's spry. She moves about, does everything she wants to do, goes where she wants to go, comes when she wants to come. And I said, I want that. But you know why a lot of people die prematurely? Negativity. They make God too small and their problem too big. And it stresses us out. Too much Valium, too much sedatives, too much alcohol. You see, we're trying to sedate ourselves by the things that are really causing the problems. It's a cycle of defeat. It's causing us to go downward. You see, today we're not going to allow the devil to magnify the problem. The second thing that he uses is he wants you to focus on the hard things. Oh, that's too hard. I can't do that. That's impossible for me. This is what Proverbs 13 and 15 says. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So I understand that if the way of the unfaithful is hard, the way of the faithful is easy. Like the old song in the 60s, groovy on a Sunday afternoon. You all don't know that song. Grooving. I used to know the words. I don't know the words anymore. But look, I'm grooving on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, throw in Saturday. Grooving. Why? Because... Let's see. Why would I say that? Oh, here it is. Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. You all don't know that song either. How many know that song? Let me see your hand. Look at you. Oh, wow. That's fantastic. He said, what? Is there anything? No. He said, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. So, devil, if you're trying to tell me this is too hard, you better talk to my father, because he said there's nothing too hard for him. And I'm with him. And if I'm with him and there's nothing too hard for him, then guess what? Nothing too hard for me either. Don't let the devil tell you life is hard. Well, it is, Pastor. You don't understand. It's really hard. I know. Life can be the pits. Yeah, in the natural, life can really throw you a curveball. But you and I have got to allow the Lord to be magnified in the middle of that. And we also have to keep our focus not on the hard, but on the easy. Easy. Everybody say easy.
Easy.
Why do I have you say easy? Because Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28 and 20, he said, I'm easy. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's hard. And I'll give you easy. I'll give you rest. Look at the next verse, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Isn't that incredible? Look at the next verse, verse 30. For my yoke is grooving. God, it is so easy to love you. I'm telling you, church, we're making this Christianity thing way too hard. I mean, we're struggling, trying to keep all these rules, trying to be all this good. And God said, ease up, man. I've taken care of it for you. Read it with me. My yoke is and my burden is. How many know that Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life? He said, no man goes to the Father but what? By me or through me. If his way is easy, why are you making it so hard? Because the devil's deceiving you. And we're not going to permit the devil to deceive us any longer. I like Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. Here's what it says. He gives power. I got to read that word like that. I just can't say power. I'm going to do it one more time because it felt so good. He gives power. Some of you don't know nothing about that either, but that's all right. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord. Come on, what's going to happen? They're going to renew their strength. Read it with me. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Church, I might have come in here weak this morning, but power is coming to me because I'm going to stay the course. Say with me, the problem I'm facing will never be bigger than the God that I'm serving. See, I might have come in here a little weary, but I'm about to run. You better get out of the way. I'm feeling something up inside of me because I found somebody who wants to magnify the Lord. I found somebody in here who's helping me not to focus on the hard, but to know that it's grooving. Come on, look at somebody and say, I feel it. Give somebody a high five. Say, yes, you can. You might have come in here fainting, walking out of the car, trying to get to the house. You see the preacher at the door, he's shaking hands. Happy Sunday. You'll say, oh, God, I can hardly make it. You came in fainting, but you're going to walk out walking. Walking upright and thanking God because he is easy. I'm telling you, church, God will meet you at the point of your need. Stay the course. Stay the course in spite of the criticism, in spite of the hardships, in spite of the difficulties. Don't let go. God's not going to let go of you. And even if you let go, he's going to catch you before you splat on the ground. I was reading about the Apostle Paul again last night. My goodness, that man went through some trouble. You talk about hard. Hey, you don't have it hard. How many times you been shipwrecked? Left in the deep overnight, couple of days. How many times have you been beaten with a cat of nine tails? 39 times left for dead. How many times were you stoned? No, not that kind. You know, stoned. 80% of the church said, Now, don't leave out of here yelling about, you know, spreading rumors about me, saying that pastor, he's on something. Just tell him he found the easy way. He's grooving in Jesus. Paul had it hard. He had it hard, church. He was in prison. He's been rejected. But he gives a testimony. He said, I know a man. Whether in the body or outside the body, I don't know. But 14 years ago, God took him up into paradise and gave him stuff that man ought not to know. Words that can't even be expressed. I believe God had to show him something. He had to give him a glimpse of glory. Because sometimes in the world, life becomes bigger and magnified. And it becomes hard and we think that it's not going to be worth it. But oh, I pray today that you'd get a glimpse of heaven. That you'd understand at Calvary 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died and bled and he was buried and on the third day rose again. I know life isn't easy, but in God we have something to look forward to. One day, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. We're going to walk on streets of glory. I'm going to look upon his face. Church, you've got heaven as your promise. I can imagine Paul the third time. He knelt down at the Roman stake to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. He said, God, I don't know why. And I don't know if I can do this again. My body is barely healed up from the last laceration of when my skin like ribbon hung around my waist. I don't know if I could go through this again. But thank you, Jesus. Because you took me to paradise. I saw the streets of glory. I saw the lovely appearance of your face. And God, this is momentary and light affliction. Go ahead, Jesus. I'm ready. See, if you and I, all we do is attend church and act like we're Christians, the world will take you down and kick you in a corner. You got to get a glimpse of glory. You've got to see heaven. You got to get a face picture of Jesus. You got to get personal with him. So when the times of trouble come, when the times of trouble come, like my good friend Minister James told me, you've got to decide what side of the comma you're going to live on. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, for we do not want to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. 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 Which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. Do you feel like that? Have you ever felt like that? Despaired even of life. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side. Come on, say that with me. Hard pressed. No, no, you got to say hard pressed on every side. You got to help me preach now. I'm about ready to quit. Hard pressed on every side. Say it with me.
Hard pressed on every side.
Yet not crushed. We're perplexed. Ah, you got to help me now. We're perplexed. But not in despair. Somebody give me a hard pressed. Mark, you're hard pressed. Come on, be hard pressed. Michael, right over there, he'll be hard-pressed, yet not crushed. Shout it, hard-pressed.
Hard-pressed, not crushed.
Say it again.
Hard-pressed, not crushed.
Okay.
Must be the sweater.
Go ahead. Tell him again. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about? You got to decide what side of the comma you're going to live on. I think it's time you switch from the left to the right. Thank you, gentlemen. Perplexed, but not in despair. I need a woman. I need a woman. Yeah. I need a woman. I need another woman. Hurry up. Perplexed. No. Perplexed. Not in despair. Walk up there like you own her. Come on, church. I'm not in despair. I don't know if you can handle one more. Okay, one more. Come on, Tina. You go over there. I know you want that side. You know, I couldn't put her over here. Not destroyed. That's who you are. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're not. Okay, I'll be struck down, all right? Struck down.
Not destroyed.
Struck down.
Not destroyed.
Struck down. Yeah, that's a regular occurrence around our house. The Bible says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear and know my voice. And a stranger they will not listen to. You know you're on a strange path when you can't find no still water. In the midst of your storm. You know you're on a strange path when there's nothing but parched grasslands and you can't find nothing green. No restoration, no peace and comfort. And when you're famished, you can't find a table prepared there in the presence of your enemies. You know you're on a strange path, a hard path. When there's no oil for your head and your cup is empty and you're walking alone without goodness and mercy. Let's bow our heads. Father, my heart's cry today is for people who are walking a strange path and need your path called easy. While we're praying, church, I'm not minimizing any hardship you're facing because I know that perplexity comes, hardship comes, trials come. But today you've been introduced to a God that says, I'll never be smaller than any problem that you'll face. Today you say, Pastor, I need God to be bigger in my life. You don't know what I'm facing, but I'm facing a huge giant. Would you pray for me? And if that's you right now, we want to pray. So I'm asking all over this room with nobody looking around, you'll say,
Pastor, I need that prayer. I'm desperate. Pastor Troy's coming to pray for you.
If that's you today, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you, you say, I'm perplexed, but you're not struck down. Jesus is a rescuer. He's here to rescue you right now. So, Lord, we pray that you would rescue us. Bring us beside the still waters. Bring everyone here today to green pastures. Restore and bring comfort. Bring them back to the table that you've prepared. Place the oil upon their head. Fill their cup. Place goodness and mercy before their path. Touch and refresh in this room, Holy Spirit, to those who need it. Lift and strengthen all who are weary, all who are heavy today, all who are oppressed, set them free. Right now, Holy Spirit, we release you. You can do it, Jesus. You are doing it right now. Why don't you stand to your feet, church? Just begin to worship the Lord. Come on, just close your eyes, lift your hands to the Lord, and just begin to worship. Magnify him. So all over this room, if you need prayer, altar ministers are coming now. They're making their way out, and they're coming now. We invite you to come now. Altar ministers, hurry. We invite you to come now in this atmosphere, to come now and magnify the Lord. Lay it down at the altar today. If you need prayer, you can come now. Come on, all over this room. You say there's a problem. There's a situation that I walked in with, but I'm not leaving with. We want to pray with you now. Just make your way out. I want to do this morning. When I was in Haiti with the team, you know, something comes over you when you leave the common and the what's familiar. Something comes over you, and you find yourself bold as an evangelist. I noticed that when we were there, there wasn't a question of whether or not we were going to share the gospel with people. It didn't matter. Wherever we went, that was our mission. Wherever we went, there was no cowering. There was no fear. There was no hesitancy. You were just released to do the work of the Lord in that moment. Christians are praying right now all over this room. And I want to release you to do the will of the Lord in this room right now. By the Spirit of God, I want you to look to the left and right. And I want you to become an evangelist this morning. You see, there are those who have come in this morning, and their hearts are either distant from the Lord, or they do not know Him at all. And so right now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand. I want you to become an evangelist this morning. I want you to turn to the left and to the right. And all over this room, I want people to begin to know the Lord. So right now, all over the church, just begin to look to the right and to the left. And if you know they don't know the Lord, this is the day of salvation. This is today. This is the day that the Lord has brought them here. Don't look at me anymore. Don't look up here. Look to the person to the right or left. And we're going to begin to worship all over this house. And we're going to lead people to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Jesus, all over this room, just begin to minister. Come on, look to the right and the left and begin to worship. Begin to minister to the person. Begin to speak what the Lord is saying. What is the Lord saying this morning? Oh, you need to know Him. Oh, you need to know Him this morning. His yoke is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We just lift up the voice of the Lord today and say, be magnified all over this room. Jesus, open hearts right now. Holy Spirit, open hearts right now to receive you. Come on, church, do the work of an evangelist. Lead them to the Lord. Become bold. Become aggressive. Don't let them leave here. Don't let them leave here without knowing the Lord. Don't let them leave here, church. Hallelujah. Altar workers, elders, come, come, come. The need is deep. Come, come. If you're an elder, come. We need prayer warriors to come. Keep singing, Melody. Keep singing. Come on, if you need prayer. Church, keep praying. Church, keep praying. Don't stop praying. Just left somebody to the Lord. If you just led somebody to the Lord, they're gonna need some things. Okay, they're gonna need to be plugged into the Foundations of Faith class. Then they're gonna need to be water baptized, and then they're gonna need to be plugged into a small group. So don't you let them leave without plugging them into those things. Immediately following the service, we're gonna disperse and we're gonna have the feasts again. And we invite you all to stay and partake of these feasts, get to know the body of Christ and minister to one another. But the atmosphere of worship is going to continue. Pastor Tina's gonna come right now and she's going to share something with us.
I'm encouraging the body to not take our love acronym lightly. you know, the loving God was getting plugged into the small groups to really know God personally and to be born again. And then the next 2 months, which we started in November and December, is learning how to love one another. You know, that new movie, my brother was telling me that people that have seen that movie are so fearful of 2012 or 2012 that they can hardly believe it. They don't know what to do because it's the end times type of movie. And we as God's people, we need to know each other, love each other, and be comfortable with one another. Because when the church is called upon, when people are coming out and said, I need help, I need Jesus, I need to know God, they're going to run to the house. And we need every one of us to be able to lead people to the Lord and love on people. So it has to begin within. So please don't take our luncheons lightly. When we come here these next 2 months, if you don't want to cook, no problem. Buy a pizza because a couple bucks is used for missions. So that's awesome as well. And the second thing, I just wanted to invite all the ladies this Friday, 9 a.m., leaving from this parking lot. We're going to be going to Sandusky and hitting a whole lot of fun places to shop. Bring a dish. We're going to Patty Anderson's to share a dish first. So 9 a.m., we're going to car caravan. Please, if you have any opportunity to be a part of that, please be a part. We love you. Pray hard. Love everybody. Amen.